Stop, stop. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I do the live one too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Quite a certain harmful habit.
Stop it now. I'm leaving.
I don't think he felt anything after
that. Hello again and welcome back. We are breaking up with RBS. This is episode number 24, and I am Tawny Santabria.
And I am JDK Winnikin. We are here to debunk the junk. And that junk is the BS stories that we define as the things that we tell ourselves that no longer serve us.
Mm-hmm.
How do we see them? And then how do we let go of them?
Yeah, because sometimes we think these stories actually are helpful.
We do.
That's why we hold on to them.
We do. And they really aren't.
They really aren't. Once we really start to kind of dive in and and look at them a little bit closer.
Yeah. And they're not always BS stories about negative things. They can be BS stories about positive things.
They can be. That's one of my favorite questions to ask my clients when they're telling me a story. I'm like, oh, how does that help you?
Do they learn that that's your code for telling them that that's a story?
They're like, ooh, how does that help you?
Yeah, you've said that to me a few times. How does that help you?
Yeah, how does that help you?
Well, and usually the answer to whatever it is it helps because it provides a way to not take a look at maybe the reality of a situation.
Yeah. And sometimes maybe there was a helpful component at one time in their life.
Right.
And, okay, so that makes sense. And then right now, though, we can sort of really take a look and maybe figure out that right now in this moment, it's not helpful.
Yeah, it doesn't serve you anymore. Right, right. Yeah, because a lot of those stories and those coping mechanisms, we come by them honestly earlier in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, particularly as kids, right? And we experience those and then we develop those habits, those stories, those whatever we might, because we actually need them.
Mm-hmm.
Then yes. After a while, they don't.
Right. Those coping mechanisms, if those stories did sort of start to be generated as kids in the context of the family, they were protective and they usually came because it was important. There was a need to be protected, right? When we bring these into adulthood, when we have more resources in our life, we're an adult, we can make more decisions, we have more connections, we have more capabilities and more or an increased cognitive ability,
right?
Those stories then don't help us in adulthood.
Yeah, and we don't always see that we have the choice to jettison those stories as well. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we just came right out of the gate.
Whew.
Right. Well, yes. First of all, welcome to all of you to another episode. Really excited to have you. If you're listening on 106.9 Warm in Seattle, good morning. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, thank you so much for doing so and for subscribing and leaving comments. And if you're watching our video feed on our YouTube channel at Breaking Up With Our BS, how do we look? All right. So last week, this all kind of fits together. Of course, everything we talk about kind of fits together. Mm-hmm. Last week, we had a really good conversation about goals and kind of dealing between goals, dreams, plans, that type of thing. And you wanted to talk about purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, it almost feels like another step further outward, or maybe a step internally into that big question we all have: what is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean? It's kind of that big internal question.
Well, it could be both.
Okay.
Right. Like, I think that is a question that many of us ask ourselves.
What is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
most people I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think many folks struggle with it, right? It's almost like we're looking for it. And sometimes we're looking outside of ourselves for it.
Okay.
Like we're asking people what they think should be my purpose.
Like, as in like something they're good at that they should do? Like a job, a career?
It
could be that.
Yeah. I think sometimes when we're asking ourselves about purpose, sometimes we naturally think, okay, what am I good at? Naturally good at, and then that will help me sort of find my purpose.
My purpose. Because something I'm naturally good at, the easier it is. Is that the story? The easier it is, the more I'm intended to do it. That's probably not what people mean.
Or if I'm good at it, that means that must be my purpose.
Ah.
And even if...
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, even if we don't necessarily enjoy it, like, okay, well, you know, I'm good at numbers, so maybe I should look in this direction of numbers. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I mean? To do something
with
really numbers.
But I don't really enjoy
it. But it's not necessarily something I've come to enjoy, or not even really understanding or knowing what it is that I connect with for myself around what might be my purpose.
But then it can also go the other way, right? Can people can ask the question around, what do I enjoy the most? So maybe that can be my purpose, so I can do that, right? So like one of the things I've jokingly said is one of the things I really like is I like to travel. I like to fly. Mm-hmm. I want a job where some airline is going to give me a job where I can fly wherever they go, and then I can test out their in-flight service. I can test out their vacation packages.
Oh, that sounds great.
Right. See,
wow.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Right.
Well, some people wouldn't.
Some people would. Yeah. I would. Mm-hmm. So should that be my purpose?
Well—
Because it can go the other way, right? It's not just about what I'm good
at. I think
at.
It can go all sorts of ways.
Sure.
And I think there's danger in the purpose being a single thing, no matter how we look at it. What is my purpose? Typically, it's related to some kind of career or job. Sort of we've learned that we need to have something we're passionate about.
Or role, maybe.
Yeah, that provides some purpose. Yeah, I think
I've heard people say that.
Yes.
I was put on earth to be a mom.
Yes, that sometimes is the case. Mm-hmm. But it's still a single thing.
Right.
Right. And I think that there's, as humans, I think that there might be more to purpose than, you know, how we sort of think about it in a sort of a singular kind of thing. Because what if someone believes their purpose is to be a mom and for whatever reason don't have the experience of kids?
Yeah.
There could be a lot of different reasons why that might be the case, or not for as long as they'd like to.
Right.
Right. So that sense about there being a singular thing that I'm supposed to do here.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure. And then what if it doesn't happen? And there's and there can be a lot of BS stories around that.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I have several people rolling through my mind, including myself, because we all can do this.
Yes.
At various points.
Yes.
Who I know have those points of focus where it's about all different kinds, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, doing a certain kind of work and having that look a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be it.
Right. Yeah.
You know. And accomplishing a certain number of things like financial security or notoriety or even just a sense of peace. If I do this job well enough, I'm going to feel good and look back on my life and go, I lived a worthwhile life.
Mm-hmm.
I can even sometimes do that too, like having written this book. Like somebody asked me, why'd you write the book? And I always seem to have a different answer. The real core one is I had a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote it. And it was a way of working out some things for me, actually, even though it's a fiction novel. It was working some things out for me. But there's also the story of that I can tell is like, I want to leave some mark that people knew I was here. No, I want to leave something to posterity.
Yeah.
Right? To contribute something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To have been a quality citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To have left my corner of the world better than when I found it.
Yeah. And none of those are a singular focus, right? So what happens is I'm thinking about several clients I've had over the last maybe 7 to 10 years where they're in that college age. They're like starting to get out of high school, college age, getting out of college, right? The pressure that so many of these young folks feel to find their purpose at that age is debilitating.
No kidding.
It's paralyzing.
Yep.
And that's the danger of having a singular purpose.
Man.
The pressure to, you know, launch into their lives and find some kind of independence, some kind of place for themselves in a way that, you know, whether it's they can be recognized or belong or make money or have start out a career or be able to, you know, financially become independent.
Yeah.
And they have to find a purpose that they're passionate about at this young age.
It's a problem because it seems to me, and I wonder how this lands on you. how much of that is about finding security? Because if you find your purpose, you're secure. What is it? Emotionally, financially, spiritually, you know, existentially, you know, how much is it about that? Because I know from my experience as a college professor for a number of years, I had students where the pressure was their parents were on them about finding a career path that would give them financial security more than anything else. You know, and I was teaching history, so they had parents saying, what are you going to do with a history major besides teach? Well, there's plenty. So how?
Yes.
And that because that whole thing of pursuing security, to me, is a real problem in this. If the idea of purpose is to give yourself some level of security in I lived a worthwhile life or financially, that doesn't sit well with me either for reasons that I can't quite fully articulate at this point.
Yeah, the mixed messages, I think, that folks in that age group are getting now and maybe have been getting in the last 10 years or so around, yes, security is a real thing, and they will hear it from their parents about security.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also hearing, though, you're supposed to be passionate about the work that you do.
Pursue your passion.
Right? And so sometimes, many times, those things aren't aligned right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It can take decades to land into mm-hmm. where, wow, this is what I feel passionate about. Now I feel my purpose as opposed to looking for it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm here. I'm able to, you know, but we're putting that pressure on these young folks
mm-hmm.
who, okay, security I get, right? Okay, so some sense of being able to pay for things.
Right.
Right? But having the pressure of meeting both of those right out of college,
mm-hmm.
yikes.
Right, or even earlier.
Right, yes. It's paralyzing.
It is paralyzing. And the pressure for, I mean, there's enough pressure as an adult. Like if you're in a career path, and I've experienced this, you're in a career path and you see the dead end coming.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I don't want to do this, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to be able to do this anymore, whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
Those things change
mm-hmm.
over time. And I know that from my own experience, what can happen is as those inevitable, I look at them now, as those inevitable challenges in life come up, if you have certain BS stories wrapped up around that idea of purpose, you can spin yourself into an existential crisis and worse. What am I doing wrong that this isn't happening? Or this was going fine and suddenly now there's a challenge. You know, am I being challenged by God? Am I being challenged by the universe? Have I made wrong choices and that's why this is happening? That's debilitating too. So not just the reality of what's happening, but then those stories can come. Mm-hmm. And then what does it mean if I don't? Mm-hmm. What if I don't get back on track? If I don't mm-hmm. find my purpose?
Right. So the just needing to find a purpose throughout the early years of life is too much pressure. We don't need to be putting that pressure on young people. Purpose can come without a ton of efforting.
Okay.
But we've got to trust that.
Okay.
Right? And we just as collectively just want to go out there and make stuff happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we push and we put pressure and we create anxiety and we create stress and burnout and survival mode, and we don't need to do that.
Okay, so that gets to the heart of what you wanted to hit. You just said it doesn't take a lot of efforting
mm-hmm.
for that. Let's unpack that. Because what I hear you saying is maybe what we should be talking about, particularly with younger people, maybe for all of us,
mm-hmm.
what skills? What skills do we have? Not necessarily even just like physical skills or emotional, mental skills. How well are we living?
Yeah.
How well are we learning how to do various things? Like, it would certainly make sense that if we're not going to put pressure on kids to find their purpose, teach them how to take care of their finances.
Yeah.
Would be a good one,
mm-hmm.
right? Teaching them emotional presence and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and what does emotional integration mean? You know, having them ask questions about the world at large, giving them open space to explore what it is that they believe in. And, you know, gently learning how to challenge that so they can think those things through. Seems like skills would be something would be better.
Skills would be a great place to start. And I think that most folks would say we are teaching skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of skillful programs out there. And there's lots of opportunities for those. Mm-hmm. I think you know of some.
Yeah.
So they're available, right? And that, and yes, that's important. And we, if we could just sort of drop some of the things for a bit and let some of the things we already have intact be more of a focus, right? Because I think that value that we've placed on purpose over skills.
Totally.
We've overvalued purpose and undervalued skills. Let's just give purpose a break for a little bit. How about that? And then all the things that are sitting there waiting for folks to take advantage of can be higher valued.
Right.
We can start to invest a little bit more time and focus there because they're there, right? It's not like they're not available.
Right.
It's just that we've undervalued and overvalued purpose. And purpose is an abstract-ish sort of thing.
That we don't think is abstract.
Right.
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 Right. It's almost a BS story. It's own,
it is.
It is. Own self.
It is.
So then something else that I've heard people say, young people and older people alike, is experiences. You know, I was thinking with younger kids, maybe explorations. You know, you help develop those skills and then the explorations of these various things. Some will say life is about experiences, or the purpose of life is that. Where does that land for you?
Right. If we're not having to think so much about what our purpose is, we can go out and have experiences. Yes. Right. Even so, we've been talking about younger people, but even folks who are a little older, maybe going through a transition, maybe they've raised their kids, or they want a different kind of career. And they realize, okay, this career that I've been in for the last 10 years, I don't really love anymore, or 20 years, and I want to find a... So we have 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds trying to find their purpose.
Right.
Wait, what if we just had more experiences? What do we want to experience? Forget the purpose, because then we dial it down to one. Well, I tried that. That didn't work. I tried this other thing, too. It didn't really pan out the way I thought it would. And then I did this, so now I really don't have any idea. So we're evaluating our experiences around whether or not we can, you know, pursue a career in this or, you know, mostly a lot of times it's around that.
A lot of times it's around
career.
A lot of times it is. It is.
And then if we can't pursue a career around that for whatever reason, or it's going to be really challenging, or there's no such thing as a, like, kind of like the thing that you want to do. Maybe there is a thing. The flying.
Oh,
around
the flying. Yeah.
Maybe there is a thing. I want people to be creative, right? I'm not like trying to like, you know, squash creativity.
Sure.
But then, okay, well, then I have no idea what my purpose is. And it's a constant sort of internal struggle and rumination around, okay, maybe it's this, maybe it's that.
And then the stories about it, having it need to be on a certain timeline, you know, in order to do this. You know, a friend of mine a handful of years ago, I've told this story elsewhere before, blew my mind one time when she said to me, she said, why is it that when people ask us what we do, we go to our jobs?
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She talks about all the other things that she likes to do.
Nice.
You know, all the experiences she has. And her job just happens to be the way she pays the bills. Not that she doesn't enjoy her job, because she does. But she's not identifying around that. And that blew my mind when I first heard it years ago. But I've really, really sort of seen the real truth to that. And from a place of presence, when I soften and when I'm centered, I can really experience the truth of that. Like, wow, yes, all these other things doesn't have to be what I do for a living as my purpose. So where do we go with that? So experiences are good. Skills are good. This notion of purpose might itself be a BS story the way we're pitching it. So where do you land on how to frame that?
Right. Like, what if we're, you know, what if connection with each other? What if, like, growing and creating mutual sort of histories and experiences together is part of what could be a good thing in being here, right? When we identify so much with our work, we remember that. We don't have ultimate control in the workplace.
Like we talked about last week.
Right.
There's only so much we have control over in a lot of things.
Yes. Right. Okay. No matter how much control we actually have, or, you know, power in our workplace that we actually have. We don't have complete control there. Mm-hmm. So if we've over-identified ourselves as that particular thing in that role,
mm-hmm.
then we've kind of disempowered part of ourselves.
Wow.
So yeah. Because we don't. I mean, like, we could be laid off. We could be fired. We could have to be, you know, mm-hmm. moved to this particular job instead of that particular job.
Yeah.
Or the business could close, or, you know, all kinds of things that are completely out of our control.
Yeah.
And then we're missing out on all of the other experiences and parts of life that we actually can choose.
Which themselves, the ones that seem like we're talking about, the connecting, the living experiences, aren't based around anticipated outcomes, are they?
Nope.
Whereas
they don't have to be.
It just occurs to me that a lot of our stories about purpose have to do with certain outcomes. Mm-hmm. I'll know I'm successful if my purpose is to be successful when I have these things mm-hmm. or I've done these things. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So in some ways, living well, mm-hmm. as far as a purpose goes, and living well is, particularly from a place of presence, is about that.
Mm-hmm.
That growth, that mm-hmm. connection, improving our relationships.
Being in tune with ourselves so that we can make healthier decisions for ourselves and our physical health even.
Right, because not every experience is one that we should go after necessarily.
Yeah.
How do we discern that?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prioritize? Because, you know, one of the things we've talked about on this show before, there's no such thing as a complete human experience.
Mm-hmm.
No one human can experience everything that a human can experience mm-hmm. in one lifetime. So how do you choose?
Right.
And then how do you let go of the fact that you might not ever experience this mm-hmm. or that? Mm-hmm. It has to be from that place of presence where it's a feeling of, I'm glad I'm getting to experience these things. It's from a growth rather than a lack.
And a sense of being okay. Because often when we don't experience the things that we've expected or, mm-hmm. or wanted to experience
right.
and then that opportunity doesn't allow for it for whatever reason, that really can increase our stress level. It can isolate. Yeah. We can isolate. We can disconnect. We can think our whole life is for what?
Right. Or we wasted it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And that leads to a whole lot of problems.
When we realize in a place of being grounded and centered and present, we can handle whatever life throws.
Yeah.
We don't have to like it. We can handle whatever life throws
mm-hmm.
and then be open and curious to what comes next.
Mm-hmm. It gets me. I'm reflecting on what you're saying just from having felt so many times being in that present place. One of the things it does provide automatically is a sense of worth.
Mm-hmm.
That sense of a connection with the sense of value and just being alive and being able to breathe and being able to be in that moment, understanding that you have value. It's inherent actually from that position. I'm just realizing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we spend a lot of time pursuing those external things that we hope will give us value. And really from that position, you can really experience it going, wow, I am okay. And when you're okay, you can say, okay, then there's value in this. This feels good.
And that's true resiliency. When we think about resiliency, it's not about how we think about things. Resiliency is in the body, right? So if we are knocked off our rocker, or maybe
that works.
I'm a Grammy, so I use rocker, knocked off our rocker because things in the world aren't happening in the way that we want them or for us or in the way that we visualized. And so now we're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite of that. And that's all in the head. Those are the BS stories that we're telling ourselves that we as an individual are doomed or not, you know, worthy of having the experience that we want to have. Right. But the body knows how to help us know that we're okay. Know that we can be resilient through the tougher times, through the mm-hmm. times that we'd prefer not be here. And when we can trust that and get in there, we're going to be able to experience so much more than we might
it's
have
true.
Thought.
Mm-hmm. And it's empowering in the truest sense of the word, because you automatically connect to it. It's not manufactured. It's one of the things that's been most valuable to me in this experience of doing this is I didn't have to pull it from anywhere. It was already there.
You didn't have to believe it or make yourself. Like, if I could just make myself believe this thing, right? Uh-huh. You didn't have to do that.
Yep.
Because it was felt.
That's right. It's that softening, that breathing into the belly, the connecting with that part of our nervous system, that safety system that's hardwired into all of us. Mm-hmm. Just as a reminder, everybody, this isn't woo-woo made up stuff. This is how our bodies are wired. This is just as much a part of us as our lungs, as our eyes, as our toes, as all those things that exists in us that we can tap into. Mm-hmm. Just we don't spend a lot of time learning how to tap into that.
No. We should talk more about that next time too, a little bit. I know we talked about the nervous system and the safety system and the stress system and all of that way early on. I think maybe in episode number 2 or 3.
Something like that. Might be good to bring it back around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's play with that a little bit next time.
We'll play with that next time. All right. Yeah. We'll kind of bring it back to, I don't know, the science of it or how it works in the body or whatever. Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this was great. Thanks, Bonnie. That
great
was cool.
To see you.
Yeah. It was great to see you too. And thanks to all of you for joining us for this episode of Breaking Up with RPS. Remember to check us out on our YouTube channel, at our Facebook group. Feel free to join that for content in between episodes. And thank you again for subscribing from your favorite podcast platform or listening on 106.9 Warm in Seattle. Tawny, thanks again. Good to see you.
Thank you, JD.
All righty. And I am JDK Winnikin.
I'm Tawny Santabria.
We will see you next time for more junk debunking.
Yes, what he said. Stop. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I do the live one too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Quite a certain harmful habit.
Stop it now. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I don't think he felt anything after the crash.
Who's that, Janio?